Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. Today we are in Joshua chapter 2, verse 16. And this is our third study in the book of Joshua. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel is on the edge of the promised land, about to cross over the Jordan River. And the first city that they must target is the city of Jericho. Now, Joshua is in charge of the Israelites, and he sent a couple of spies to the city of Jericho to check the place out. While they were there, the king discovered that they were there, and they hid at the home of Rahab. And Rahab was protecting them, and the king's men came to her place, and she hid them. And now that the king's men left, she is about to help them escape through her window. And so, with that in mind, let's pick up our study in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 3. It says, "Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall." Now, as I mentioned last time, Rahab's home, one side faced the inside of the city, and the outside faced the outside of the city, and it was actually built on the wall, the fortified wall that went around the city. And so she lets the people, or the two spies, down through the window on that outside wall. And verse 16, "And she said to them, 'Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way.'" There was a barren mountain just outside Jericho. Rahab says, "Stay there for 3 days. By then, those who went looking for the two spies, they would be home and it would be safe. It'd be safe for the two Israelite spies to head back to the Israelite camp. Verse 17, "So the man said to her, 'We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear.'" And the oath that they are referring to here is the promise that they made to Rahab that they would protect her. She had been good to them. She had kept them safe. So they promised her that they would protect her, she would be safe during the attack on Jericho. And so would anybody else who came into her house for protection. And they talk about that oath here, and the oath they took was binding, and they knew it. They knew God would hold them accountable for swearing if they did not follow through with their promise. And it's good to remember that God has not lowered His standards at all concerning that sort of thing. Verse 17 again, and then verse 18. "So the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home.'" The Israelites had been kept safe down in Egypt, inside homes which had the Passover lamb's blood on the door. Remember that? The wrath of God did not come in the homes which had the lamb's blood on the door. Now, the people who were inside Rahab's home, which was marked by a scarlet cord, were kept safe as well. Now, in both cases, people were saved from the wrath of God by the color red, just as Christians today are saved through the blood of Christ that is shed for us on the cross. The Old Testament, you see, is filled with pictures of Christ. It all points to Him. And even the scarlet colored cord pointed to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It protects, it saves those who find refuge in it. 19. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And so if anyone leaves Rahab's house during the attack, they do it at their own risk. If they die, it is because they did not stay in God's place of safety. God has always, in every age, provided a place of salvation. But He has always left it up to the individual to go in or not. 20. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. If Rahab runs around telling her impenitent neighbors to hang scarlet ropes out their window, this deal is off. Rahab will be saved because of her faith in the one true God. And if her unsaved neighbors don't have that faith, that rope isn't going to help them, and it's not going to help Rahab either then, because she has double-crossed the Israelites by telling. Verse 21. Then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window, and so she didn't waste any time. She tied that cord to her window right away, it seems anyway, that she did that. And she was safe in doing that. I mean, no one in the city is going to make the connection. No one is going to think, hey, that cord is a sign. Rahab is in league with the Israelites. And so she was safe in doing it. And plus, she was wise, because there's no sense in putting off, you know, the means of her salvation until the last minute. No sense in putting off her salvation until the last minute, especially since she didn't know the exact day or the hour that city would be attacked. Now, the same is true today. It doesn't make any sense at all to put off receiving Christ. And there are people who believe, but they are putting off receiving Christ. They think until the last minute. That is so foolish, because no one knows the exact day or the exact hour that they will die. It can happen so quickly that you don't have time. And so that's very foolish to put that off. And Rahab did a wise thing here. 22. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. 23. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And I'm sure there was a lot to tell. I suppose these spies told Joshua all about Rahab, the woman who helped them. Probably told Joshua about how she hid them on the roof, and how they went and hid in the mountains, and everything else, including they told Joshua about verse 24. And it says, "And they said to Joshua, 'Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us.'" And so the battle for the first city in the promised land is actually over before it even starts. The people in Jericho are too scared to fight. The fear of the Lord God of Israel has pretty much paralyzed them, physically and mentally. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove. and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. And so the morning, after the spies returned, Israel breaks camp. Verse 2. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp. Now, I want you to notice that there was a chain of command in Israel. And the chain of command went like this. God, Joshua, his officers, and then the people. And we have seen this in the past, but it's worth pointing out once again that God does things in an orderly way. Winging it, when you are able to prepare, that is not faith. That is presumption. It is putting God to the test. Some people think, well, I'm not going to prepare for what I have to do. I'll just trust God. Well, that's not trusting God. And that is not moving in the Spirit, because the Spirit clearly teaches in God's Word that we ought to prepare for what we can prepare for the best we can. Verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Remember that cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years? It is gone. God removed it after the death of Moses. Now the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God on earth, leads the way. Now, it is still God's leading. He is just using a different instrument. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And so there was to be a distance between the ark and the people, and the distance between them and the ark was kept out of respect for God, who was represented by that ark, and also so that the people could see which way they were to go. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua didn't tell the people exactly what kind of wonders God would do. He just said, consecrate yourself so you are ready for those wonders. And in the case of the Israelites, consecration would mean wash your body, wash your clothes, and wash your soul through repentance. When God moves, people who are consecrated are blessed. They see it, they recognize, and they are blessed. When God moves, people who are not consecrated miss it. It goes right over their head. And so Joshua tells the people, prepare. God is about ready to do something. We'll pick up our study in verse 6 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.